Tour Junkies.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for downloading the Tour Junkies Fantasy Golf Podcast. This week is the Greenbrier Classic. Before we give you the course statistics, the players you need to play, the players you need to avoid, the guys that me and Pat agree on, the guys that we disagree on, we are going to recap the week at the Quicken Loans National. We're going to talk a little bit of falconry on the show today. That we feel like that's pretty important. And it's just going to be a fun show. It's a horribly weak field, and we do our best to make it entertaining for you. And we also have some pretty cool announcements. So thanks again for listening to the show. We hope the advice makes your screens green. If not, we are sorry. At least you're entertained. Enjoy the show. What's up, golf addicts? Thank you for downloading the Tour Junkies podcast for the Greenbrier Classic. Back at it in Virginia a year after floods wiped out the golf course. I'm David Barnett. I have got my boy Pat Perry on the line. Pat, what's up, my man? How are you? And how was your Quicken Loans National?
I am doing great, fantastic. First off, it's West Virginia, David. West Virginia.
Oh, yeah, West Virginia, my bad.
No, I'm doing really good. I will say that is despite an absolutely horrific week for me on DraftKings. Oof. And actually everywhere else. I just did not have a good week. And, you know, the picks were a little off, I think. But we did have some good ones. I mean, we hit some of the guys that were up there. It's yeah. just, you know, I had a lot of Brendan Steele who killed me. A few other guys that I know we talked up and that were maybe chalky, but it wasn't a good week for me.
Yeah, I didn't have a great week either. I mean, I feel like, okay, do you hear that noise?
I do not.
Okay. Okay, I'm in a hotel, guys. I'm in Maryland at the Gaylord Hotel. It's a very nice hotel, but I need to check and see what's happening outside my window because it sounds like people are dying. Hang on a second.
Wow, this is an interesting start to the show. I hope everyone's okay.
Okay, this isn't fan. It's better than I thought. It's good news. No one's dying. But there is a laser light show and music that literally started in the lobby the moment we started recording this podcast. So it sounds like we may have a soundtrack to Tour Junkies tonight. So let me make a slight adjustment on the microphone. It might help.
Yeah, I think that's going to show up somewhere. But it might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good sound.
You got your own background music tonight.
You ought to see the light show in here. If you've never stayed in a Gaylord, it's very, very nice. Anyway,
only the best for you, David.
Only the best for me. That is right. I think I had a little bit of better week than you did, but it wasn't great. I did have some Kyle Stanley, although he was quite chalky. I had him. Didn't have a lot of Brendan Steele. I just didn't have a lot of guys that like really were up there in like the top five, top ten. It wasn't all that great. So
see, I ended up completely fading Kyle Stanley, and he's a guy that pops every week for the most part in a lot of stat categories, and he did last week. I mean, I think he was a good play, but I just never peg him right. I think even in the chat room I mentioned, you know, in the shot in the arm chat room, I was the same thing. I was like, look, play him if you want to play him. I'm not going to play him this week, but it was just because I never pegged him right, and I obviously was wrong.
Me and you argued about whether to take him or Finau, and I was on Stanley. You were on Finau.
Well, good for you. The only lineups I had that cashed were Charles Howell, and you know, coming off of an injury, I felt like at that price, he was certainly worth taking.
Oh yeah, great value.
I mean, because mm-hmm. you just never see him at that price, and he's not the type of guy who's going to come to a tournament and play if he's not ready. So I think he was ready to play. Obviously, he showed that with, you know, another playoff. He has had 16 second place finishes on tour.
Gah!
That is just ridiculous.
Unreal.
And what, one win?
Oh, that's brutal. That's brutal.
I was hurting for the guy because I really wanted to see him win that. But
You know, I did have a good lineup that only made me about $50 that would have beat our boy Derek Farnsworth, a.k.a. Notorious, in all of his contests, in which he won $115,000 this weekend. So that's a little jab to Derek, but good on him. He had a great week. He won some good money over there. He's a Roto Grinders guy. If you don't follow Notorious, you should be. He's a good dude. And I know Justin Van Zuiden, also a friend of the podcast, fellow Roto Grinder guy, co-host on the XM show with me. He had a big week, $140,000, I think, but it was on baseball.
It was huge. Huge
week for the Roto Grinders guys. Sidebar, quick announcement here I want to make to the listeners. If any of you guys do listen to the XM show that I do on Wednesday nights, this week is the last week we're doing it because guess what? The NFL rules all, and XM was like, hey, listen, we're going to talk football. So no more PGA DFS golf show for this season, for the remainder of the season. They would love to bring it back next year in January. So if you want to support me on my going out episode, it's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern on Channel 87 on XM and 210 on Sirius. So it's been a lot of fun to do that with Justin and Roto Grinders, but it is coming to an end, and we get to go out with a bang with the Greenbrier Classic, literally the worst field in golf. So that'll be fun.
I know you're excited. I won't call in this time. I'll let you and JVZ handle this one.
Hey, yeah. By the way, did you see? Actually, fun fact. So I'm in Washington, D.C. I don't know, or Maryland, actually, right now. But I don't know if any of you saw, I got a sweet tour of the West Wing of the White House yesterday, which only a handful of people get to do every year. The East Wing is always open, pretty much. But I got a West Wing tour. It's super cool. And it was a lot of fun. And I took some pictures and shared a little bit of it. But what's also cool is Wednesday night, I'm going to get to do the XM show from the Sirius XM studios in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday night. So I'll be in studio with my boy Drew, my producer, and that'll be kind of fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
It should be a fun show because not really much stress on you. It's the last show. You don't have to worry about all the Wi-Fi and whatever else when you're trying to do it at whatever location you're at. I mean, if it goes out at the XM studios, it's certainly not your fault. So you won't have any technical difficulties.
No, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to get a tour beforehand of like the PGA Tour station. There is at that particular studio, so I'm going to get a tour of that. That should be fun. And I'm going to get to hang out with my XM buddies that I've met this year. So I think it'll be pretty cool. You guys should listen to the show if you haven't already. But yeah, that's my week. I am in our nation's capital making stuff happen. I'm going to be here for the 4th, which I'm excited about. So,
they have some fireworks, don't they, on the 4th?
Yeah. It's freaking D.C. Yes, I'm on the Potomac, literally. By the way, if my roommate for the week happens to walk in the door, forgive me. I feel a little bit like you a few weeks back when I should have ordered some takeout, some Asian, and asked the guy if he knew like Sung Yil No or Cebu Kim or something. So yeah, I'm in the hotel. If he walks in and you hear a door slam and you hear me go, "Hey, shut up," then that's what's going on. So,
what are you doing in D.C.? I mean, besides work. I mean, anything else that's fun? I mean, are you making America great again?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I was at the White House, which was awesome. Trump was not there; he was in Jersey. But I did actually get a chance to leave a Golby ball marker and sticker for the Don with a very reputable White House individual that I know that works there every day in the White House and sees Trump every day that he's there. And I asked him to hand that to him and see what happens. So one of these days, who knows? Donald being an avid golf fan, he could be rocking a Golby ball marker. Well, I doubt it, but it could be cool. It could be cool. It's a cool thought. The president of the United States, whatever your thoughts on Trump, it'd be pretty cool.
You probably should have maybe given him the Patriot Golby t-shirt that we have.
You know,
limited quality left.
That's a great segue, first of all, Pat. But I did not have any because you are the merch czar. So I didn't have any Patriot Golbies in the Don size. So, but that is a great point. We do have about how many of those left? Give us a little inventory update, Pat.
I'm staring at them now in the new and improved inventory area, and we have about 10 left.
And they're only $12. They're only 12 bucks, the Patriot Golbies.
Be patriotic this week.
Yeah. Also, you know, you said we have like 3 green mesh TJ hats. However, in the store, you have them as sold out. So you might want to update the inventory there, buddy.
Okay. I'll update that.
Are we definitely sold out of the gray TJ mesh backs?
Yeah.
We're sold out of those. Do we still have one navy polo left and an XL?
One navy XL polo left, which let me just tell you,
those flew off the shelves.
These things, it's my favorite shirt to wear.
It's a great
feeling shirt.
And it's
not because it has
Golby.
Yeah, it's just a great feeling shirt.
Feels fantastic. Awesome. All right, so inventory update. Anything else you want to update us on, Pat?
That's about it. Now, I do have a little surprise this week, David.
Ooh, I love surprises. Suprisa.
Yeah, so we happen to come across 4 PGA Championship practice round tickets for the Tuesday practice round.
Ooh, you know what that, keep going.
So I feel like we need to do a contest for those.
Ooh, you know what? That's boom worthy.
Yeah.
Boom.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away 4 practice round tickets Tuesday, PGA Championship, Quail Hollow in Charlotte. Now, listen, this is going to come out here in the next couple days, but we want to make sure you guys or gals that may be listening out there actually can go. So I don't want any, like, you got to be serious with this when we do this contest because, you know, we don't want to just give these things away and they go to waste.
Yeah, we'd love for you to go.
Yeah.
That'll
so we're
going to
do something. It's going to come up here in the next couple days. We'll announce what this contest is going to be. And kind of, you know, excited to have some folks, some Tour Junkies fans hit up the PGA Championship, which we will be at, but it will be later in the week.
Yep, we'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday maybe.
Yeah.
So if you guys are planning on going, let us know. But yeah, the Tuesday practice round tickets will be pretty cool. Yeah, should be fun. Should be a lot of fun. Is that it?
That's all for me.
So if you're not, you need to follow us on Twitter or create a Twitter account so that you can follow us on Twitter so that you can see those details because we'll probably tweet the PGA Championship contest details. You can get ahead of the game, but we'll obviously update you on next week's podcast for sure.
I'm putting two things together there. So tourjunkies.net and @tour_junkies.
Yes.
By the way, I was listening to Mike and Mike in the Morning on ESPN Radio today, and they were they had the B team because Mike and Mike were out, you know, probably celebrating the 4th. But they were talking about Twitter accounts and the infamous underscore.
Yes.
When you couldn't get your actual Twitter name, we still have that underscore. But yeah. I've come to love the underscore.
Yeah, yeah. The guy that owns the non underscore Tour Junkies account wants to sell it to us for like 1,500, so which is just retarded. So yeah. unless anybody has like 1,500, you know who should do? Derek Farnsworth, notorious, should give us $1,500 of the 110 that he won. $110,000 that he won this week because I did the Roto Grinders live show with Derek on Tuesday. And like gave him all kind of great advice, and he just used it. And he should give us $1,500 to buy the Tour Junkies non_ handle
and the .com account.
Yes, I was gonna say or the few thousand it's gonna take to buy the .com. That should definitely happen. Derek, we know you listen. Make that happen. We'll give you our PayPal address off. Just DM us. All right. I think before. Here's the thing. Here's what's most important about the Greenbrier. Okay? Right here. Listen. You're going to listen to a lot of podcasts this week. You're going to read a lot of articles about the Greenbrier Classic. It's going to be You know, the biggest storyline is going to be that, man, the horrible flooding in West Virginia last year wiped out a lot of the golf course, and man, did they do an incredible job rebuilding it. And yes, it's beautiful, it's pristine. You know, it's a beautiful golf course. You're going to hear a lot about that. But listen, none of that matters. Okay, none of it matters. The most important thing about this week is that they have falconry. That's right, falconry, like the bird. That's the most important thing. I mean, would you agree, Pat? Like, falconry. Your family can participate in falconry.
Is there any place in America where you can participate in falconry? Probably not.
I don't know. I just don't know. But I know one thing. Phil Mickelson loves falconry. And he thinks your family would love falconry because he told us so in the commercial that the Greenbrier paid him lots of money to say. So Phil and Bubba live or have a house in this area of town.
Yeah,
and they both
have
frequent. They're both
the
frequent.
Narrative.
Yes, they're both frequent falconers. That's actually a word. A falconer is a person who practices falconry. I don't know if you knew that. So they're both falconers. I wonder if they falconize with their left hand or right hand, because they're both lefties on the golf course. I wonder if they falconize with the left or the right. You know, like some people, like Phil's actually a right-hander in everything else, but he plays golf left-handed. I wonder if he falconizes left or right-handed.
I would falconize left-handed, but so I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan. Does that make me?
No, that's not even funny. That's a dumb joke. This is not even funny. This is serious business, Pat. You know the definition of falconry? What do you even think falconry is?
I don't know. That's what I was going to ask. I cannot even imagine.
Take a guess. What is it? What is the sport of falconry about?
The art of sending the falcon off, and then he comes back to your arm.
Okay, close. This is the definition of falconry. It's actually an age-old practice. They believe it dates thousands and thousands of years ago. I did some research on this. They believe that falconry dates thousands and thousands of years ago. And in fact, you stumbled onto something there. They used to refer to females as falcons and males as just hawks. And now it's kind of evolved, right?
I hope you spent enough falconry time researching.
Is the hunting of wild quarry in its natural state and habitat by means of a trained bird. So it's actually kind of like hunting, but you hunt with a badass trained falcon on your arm. It's like you literally don't have to get guns or bow and arrows or anything like that. Like, you just walk up into the Greenbrier and you like stick your left arm out, or whatever arm you falconize with, and your trained bird, I don't know what the commands are. You know how like police officers speak to like police dogs in like German or something?
Release!
I don't know what that is, but and I don't know if there's a way to tell them like you want rabbit or squirrel or snake or bird or something, like, because I'm sure they can get any of those. But you basically say, hey, man, go bring me a dead thing. And he flies off and he brings it back to you on your arm.
And like, I don't think that's what happens at the Greenbrier.
If your falcon is broken, then his ass comes back empty handed and you're pissed off and you go get another falcon. But that's falconry in a nutshell. And the other thing I was thinking is, like, is it racist that there's not like eaglery or owlry?
Now you're getting into it, and I just no. But here's the thing: there's no
cardinalry.
They're not doing that at.
Yeah, they
are. Not killing things at the Greenbrier.
Yes, they are. Are you kidding? It's a sports and like hunting club. Yes,
no,
they are.
They're just releasing the falcon. It's going and doing a circle and coming back. And
that's stupid. No, they're not. It's falconry, bro. Phil Mickelson says, yeah, if your family enjoys falconry or off-roading, you can come to the Greenbrier. It's falconry is not let the bird sit on your arm and send it around in a circle and come back. That's just like, hey, here's a bird trick. Falconry is the act of hunting wild quarry in its natural state and natural habitat by means of a trained bird.
Have you ever been to the Greenbrier?
No, but I know it's beautiful.
I have.
Of course you have, because you're freaking privileged. Just all get out.
Let me just tell you, this place is un-freaking real. It is a, if you're ever going to go anywhere in West Virginia, that's going to be the place
to go. That's the only place to go.
Yeah, it's incredible. There is a bowling alley inside of there. I'm trying to think. I went back in the 80s.
Wow. You remember that?
Well, it relates to my brother Rob, who we talk about occasionally on the show, who passed away, but he did a Make-A-Wish. He was one of the early Make-A-Wish Foundation participants. And we got to go fly a private jet to the Greenbrier, and he played golf there, and we didn't get to play golf. Me and DirecTV Perry did not get to play golf, but Rob did. So I can't tell you any firsthand accounts of the golf course, but I can tell you that freaking hotel is ridiculous. And I think it has a casino now.
I'm sure.
I don't remember Falconry, though.
I mean, would Phil have joined it if it doesn't have a casino? Yeah, you don't remember the Falconry? I'm telling you.
I don't remember the Falconry.
Here's what we need to do. Before the week's out, we need to call up there and find out. I need to basically call up there and be like, hey, listen, I'm an expert falconer, and I'm thinking
what
about
do you
bringing
do with the dead animals.
I'm thinking about bringing my family up for a little falconizing. If I do, will he bring me his prey? Will he bring it to me? And if they're like, "Oh no, sir, I'm sorry. We just fly them around and they come back to you," then I'm going to hang up on them.
And just be like, "This is not a true falconry place.
It's not falconry. It's and bird circus. It's a bird circus.
You should sue Phil Mickelson."
Right. False advertising, Phil. Jeez. I mean, they think all the insider trading mess is serious. I mean, the fact that Phil could be lying about falconry is really freaking serious. Like, let's just be real. In fact, for that reason, I'm fading him this week. I'm fading Phil Mickelson.
Wow.
Just on suspicion alone that you say they're probably not actually bringing back dead animals.
Wait till you actually call before you fade him.
All right, whatever. Hit us with the course breakdown, Pat.
All right, so this is a Greenbrier Classic this week, as evidenced by the fact that we just spent almost 10 minutes talking about falconry.
What else are we going to talk about? The field? If you guys are listening right now and you think we're about to spend the next 30 minutes talking about the field, wrong.
No, there's going to be a few. We're going to go off a little bit here on some different tangents, but let's talk about the course real quick. We're at the Old White TPC course in White Sulphur Springs,
easy,
West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So we're returning here after a one-year hiatus. You're going to hear a lot about the flooding that happened last year. So there was no tournament last year. So, hey, guys, there's no 2016 course history. Par 70, 7,287 yards is what it's playing to. You got bent grass greens, which is a little bit of a change from what it used to be. And fairways are bent grass as well. These are incredibly large fairways, you know, as far as wide fairways to hit. I think it's going to be pretty easy. I think the scoring is going to be pretty this is going to be a scoring fest for the guys. So with a par 70, you got two par fives. Actually, both those par fives are on the back nine. And then you got four par threes. And the 18th hole is a par three, which is kind of cool. When you look at the changes that were made, I guess, after the flood, I think most of it was aesthetic. It wasn't like really too much as far as, you know, changes to the course design. I mean, there was some reshaping of the bunkers. You had the bent grass greens that were added in. There's also a lot of trees missing. So that was part of it, but I don't think that's really going to change much. Stats that I'm looking at this week, I think par 4 birdie or better percentage, which we typically look at on a par 70 course. Strokes gained stats, I think, you know, the two most important to me are going to be the major one, which is strokes gained tee to green and then strokes gained approach. I also looked at ball striking and the scoring stats. And I think putting, you know, is another one this week that we typically don't talk about a ton, but we went into a little bit last week. And I'm going to pay attention to that again this week for me. Past champs, 2016, you had the flood, that one. In 2015, you had Danny Lee. 2014, El Pato, the Duck, Angel Cabrera. 2013, one of my favorite golfers on tour, Jonas Blixt. 2012, you had Ted Harry Potter Jr. And then in 2011, you had Scott Stallings. So there you go.
That was so terrible. All right.
What do you got?
Yeah, I echo all that. I'm mainly looking at scoring, and form. But also, really, I think there's some course horses here. I think there's some course horses.
There's plenty of them.
I think with the weak field and the high propensity for birdies and eagles or whatever in this golf course, we've seen bombers take advantage of it. We've also seen more, you know, accurate types take advantage of it. I just think it's a wide open deal. Once again, it's kind of what we've run into a couple of these here lately. It's just a wide open field, and so that's kind of my outlook. And I can go ahead and tell you right now, in the $10,000 range, or $10,000 and above, the only guy I'm playing is Webb Simpson at 10-1, which is a little weird to say, but I love Webb's form. His course history, he's made 4 out of 6 cuts here with 3 top 10s. One of the best course horses out here, if you ask me. Coming off the T8 at the Travelers, you know, he's actually scoring a little better right now. So I think Webb is it for me. Everybody else, I'm not interested in. I'm just not. I like a lot of the 9K guys.
I wasn't expecting that because I think I do like Webb, but I think Kiz is the play up here. It's in this over 10K range. I mean, obviously, last time we were here, he got into the playoff and quickly exited out of that playoff. But if you're looking at this year, I mean, he pretty much checks a box on most all the strokes gained stats, especially putting. He's number one in the field in putting. 10-7. I think most people, you haven't seen him at this price before, but he's a different caliber player now. So I think you've got to look at Kiz, and there's some good cheaper options in that 7,000 range too, where I think you can, you know, you're going to be able to fit these guys up here. And I like Mickelson. You know, the only thing about Mickelson, I will say this: course history is terrible. He's like never made a cut here. But I think if you're only looking at that, you might be short-sighting yourself. So I think Phil Mickelson at 10-4 is a pretty good play. Checks a box on strokes gained tee to green, par 4, birdie or better percentage. Obviously, he's a scorer. I mean, the guy can score birdies in bunches and then also checks a box on strokes gained approach. So other than, you know, Webb, who I do like, I do think I'm going to sprinkle in some Mickelson and some Kiz, but I'm fading those top two guys in Reed and Bill Haas. Just can't see. Bill Haas is interesting to me. I don't understand. I feel like DraftKings just like messes with us when they price him, because they'll put him like really cheap, and then this week they make him the second highest guy out there. I don't get it.
No, it's a bad field. You know, this is all. Phil is also not boning anymore. He's got Tim Mickelson on the bag first
I'm all right
tournament,
with that, and you don't like his falconry stuff and whatever else. But yeah. I still think Mickelson could be a good play this week.
All right. 9K range is my zone. I mean, I agree. I do think there are some guys, and I already said it was a wide open field. I would just rather have. I mean, I just think the guys in the 9K and 8K are just as good as a lot of the guys in the 10K. But I do think there's some values down at the bottom. If you wanted to go super studs and duds, you could. We'll get to those guys. But I'm starting most of my lineups in the 9K range. I think, believe it or not, my favorite play in here. Whew, hold my breath. Is actually going to be Keegan. He's made 4 of 4 cuts here with a top 25 and in fantastic form. I mean, T5th at the Quicken, T8th at the Travelers. It's a wide open golf course. I like that for Keegan, for sure. And also I like a little Russell Henley. Bookend 67s round 1 and 4 at the Quicken Loans. He jacked it up in the Friday and Saturday, but But I don't mind a little Henley at 73. I like Danny Lee, former winner here, obviously in continuing his good form, although I think he'll be a little more popular. I think Charles Howell's worth the play at 9,700, obviously playing well. You got to feel like the second place finish coming right off of the long layoff gives him some confidence. I mean, you know, to be able to do that, even though it's also probably deflating that he just never wins. I mean, it had to feel good to get in contention. I would think that would kind of spur him on a bit. And at 9,700, obviously it's a huge price jump, but I don't really care with Charles Howell. I think the course suits him really well when you have guys that that can bomb the ball and take advantage of the length here. Charles Howell's a good bet for that. And then lastly, you know, the guy who's 3 of 3 cuts made with 2 top 25s and lives on the golf course or has a house on the golf course, Bubba Watson. I think he could be an interesting GPP play. We'll see if we're getting closer to the week and things are pointing to Bubba being higher owned because of the history and because of the Bubba narrative and his support of the Greenbrier. If the public is jumping on that, then I'll fade him completely. But if everybody's kind of talking off of him after, you know, 2 missed cuts and not having the best year, I might play him a little bit at 9,800. So I like a lot of that range right there.
Yeah, well, I can tell because I feel like you named it.
I named everybody. I'm not playing Finau.
That's where I differentiate with you because I do like Finau this week. I mean,
likes Finau every week, though. That's the only reason I'm fading him. I mean, I'm sure from a stat perspective, he's great.
He is, and I think this is a course where he can obviously win on. He is number one in the field in strokes gained tee to green. Checks a box on par forward birdie or better percentage and strokes gained approach. So Finau is if you're gonna, he's probably gonna be one of the higher owned guys here. But I'm not afraid of that. I think this is, I could easily see him winning this week. So I do like Finau. I'm with you on Keegan Bradley, and he's a guy that is just, I don't know. He's always polarizing when it comes to a tournament, but if you look at his play lately, you know, like you said, I mean, 8th at the Travelers, 5th last week. You know, he was 2nd in the field last week in strokes gained tee to green. So I think Keegan is just, he's on that upward trend where I want to be, you know, I want to put him in some lineups because I think that, you know, he's probably going to pay off this week. Charles Howell for me is another interesting play at that 9,700. Area. I think, again, this is one of those courses that could just, he could light up, and he's playing great when you look at last week. So I'll go Charles. Bubba's interesting. I don't know. I'm going to have to play some lineups with Bubba just to do it because I like that this is obviously kind of his home course, and he should be able to just bomb it around this course with the wide fairways and everything else. So as long as he's hitting his irons well and putting well, I think you could easily see him, you know, play well. So those are going to be my 3 top guys, I think, are Bubba, CH3, and Finau. So there you go.
Nice. All right, in the 8K range, I'm going to plant my flag. My favorite guy in the 8K range is Kevin Streelman at 8,900. You just can't ignore the form. 4 straight top 20s and 1 top 10 in the last 4 weeks. It just seems to be clicking on all cylinders. You know, even though bombers can take advantage here and Streelman's not a bomber, you've still seen guys like Danny Lee win this thing. And, Danny Lee doesn't hit the ball that far, so. I mean, I'm loving the form Streelman's in. 8,900 feels crazy, but I don't want to get off the train until we start seeing it slow down, and it just doesn't look like it's slowing down right now. I think 2 guys who just burned a few people their last time out that may see a drop in ownership are Graham DeLette at 8,400. DeLette just missing the cut at Quicken Loans. But he's made 4 of 4 cuts here with a top 25, and I don't know. Like I said, just having burned a few people, I'm a little interested in DeLette on an easier golf course than last week. And then the next guy is at 8,300. That's Jamie Lovemark. Burned some folks at the Travelers. I know he burned you in that GPP. You were doing pretty well, and he MDF'd. But before that, really tremendous form in the last, you know, the previous 3 weeks from Lovemark. if it's a birdie fest, if the Bombers can take advantage, that's right up Love Mark's alley. He's good at that. And like I said, I mean, I think some people gravitate towards Sung Kang after seeing him play well this past week. I think JB Holmes will be a name people jump on at 8,500. So I think Dillette, Love Mark are your decent pivot plays. Streelman, not a bad play. I feel better about him, but I won't have a ton of ownership in this range. I see myself having a lot in the 9K and then 7K guys kind of rounding it out with a dabble in the 6K range. What about you in the 8K?
So we're just not on the same page tonight because I like the 9K range, but I'm not going to be as heavy because I think the 8K range is pretty good. I think JB Holmes, who you mentioned, is a great play. And I think with, 8,500, he's a guy that has not, he's kind of flying in under the radar here. Hasn't played great. His last three starts, his best finish was a top 15 about 3 weeks ago. But he's got a pretty good course history here. Checks the box on par four, birdie or better percentage. He is, of this group, he's got the best odds at 30-1. So I think that JB Holmes, to me, is going to be a very good, especially GPP play this week. So I do like him. I'm with you on Love Mark. I will say that. I think he's a good play. Jason Kokrak is another one at 8,700. Checks the box on strokes gained tee to green. Another one of those guys that's just kind of a hit or miss type guy, but I do like him this week. If you're looking at course history for Kokrak, it's okay. It's not great, but if you look at his top, last five starts, he's got one top five, made four straight cuts with three of those being in the top 30. So I do like Jason Kokrak. And one more that I'll throw out there is Sean O'Hare at 8,100. Hmm. He is one of the tops in the field, actually, in birdies gained on par fours. So I do like Sean O'Hare. He also has it's a fairly decent course history here. Has been playing pretty well lately. So there you go, Sean O'Hare. He's got, if you're looking at his last four or five starts on tour, two of those are top 10 finishes. And then out here, he was 13th 2 years ago and then seventh back in 2012. So Sean O'Hare, I think, could be another good play.
Interesting.
GPP only, not a cash.
All right. Well, take us down to the 7K range.
All right, so 7,000 range, let's see. I think the obvious play here is Gary Woodland. I just don't understand why he's priced right here. If you look at everything as far as the stat categories, he's number two in the field in strokes gained tee to green. He checks the box in strokes gained off the tee. Also in birdie or better percentage, so I don't know, 7,500. He's going to be the chalk play, I think. I think he is going to be highly owned. But I love him this week. Also, David Hearn at 7,400.
I'm off Hearn now. It's the momentum slowing down. I mean, I had a little bit of him this past week, but.
But he looked at his last three starts. Yes, he had two top tens, and then he was 73rd last week.
And I know it was a hard course, but.
Yeah, it was a weird. I'm throwing out kind of last week because it was just a weird week.
I could see it.
He was second last time they played here.
He took a price decrease. I don't know. I might have some more of him before the week's over. He kind of burned me this week. Maybe that's why I'm a little irritated with him. But
by the way, I need to go back because I missed a guy. I think James Hahn in the 8,000 range at 8,800 is certainly worth a play. I mean, the guy's been playing really well. You look at his last four starts; he's had two top tens. He's played well on this course before. So I need to back up just a little bit. I missed him. I do like James Hahn this week. Another guy in the 7,000 range, Jonas Blixt. Winner here before. He's number four in the field in strokes gained putting. Loves the bent grass greens. We know that. I typically talk about that whenever I bring up Jonas Blixt. So I don't think he's a bad play. You just got to avoid those terrible holes that he might have. And then Patrick Rogers at 7,100. He's a guy I haven't mentioned lately, but is trending upwards in his play. You look at, where am I? If you look at his last two starts, he's had a 35th and a 22nd. He's also made the cut both years that he has played here, which is 2015 and 2014. So I do like Patrick Rogers at 7,100. So there you go. I'll stop there, and I'll let you maybe throw in a few guys.
Well, I think I am – I agree with you on Woodland. That's just about it as far as what I really agree with you on. I mean, I think there's some GPP options down here that are interesting. I think Grayson Murray is an interesting one, even though he shot an 81 on Sunday. He had some blow up holes on a hard course for sure. But before that was trending very nicely. Now he's back on a wide open course that bombers can take advantage of. Could be a GPP option, maybe. And I think another guy who missed the cut last week, but missed it by one shot, was Morgan Hoffman. Little bit of interest in Mo Hoff. But actually, it's kind of crazy to say it, but I think I feel pretty good about Harris English's game right now, who I've not been on all year. I know you've liked him a little bit, but I watched him play a little bit over the weekend. I mean, he's doing his thing. He's putting well. He's fairly accurate. I don't know. English just seems to be doing okay. I mean, he missed a cut at the Travelers a couple weeks back, but he missed it just by a couple shots. So I don't know. I feel like he's been trending in the right direction. I think 7K is kind of a steal, and I still don't think a whole lot of people are really comfortable taking him. And I probably will have a little bit of Curtis Luck. Definitely flashed this past week. 18 birdies this past week at the Quicken Loans for a T5. I knew he was going to stumble on Sunday. As soon as he got the lead on Sunday, I was like, oh no, this ain't happening. Like,
yeah, I do like Curtis this week.
And his nerves got to him.
He took a few weeks off after the FedEx St. Jude, and I saw an interview with him where he said he went back to Australia and just kind of reset it a little bit. And this guy's, you know, he's not John Rahm as far as next star right now, I don't think. But I think he's going to be close. So I could.
That's a tall order. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he is the reigning USAM and Pacific Am champ and the former number one ranked amateur in the world.
He's played 12 PGA Tour events this year and made 8 cuts.
Yeah, that is impressive.
That's pretty daggum impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I don't know about John Rahm, but I'm with you.
That's what I said. I didn't say he was John Rahm. I just said he's there's. Let's give the guy his due.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. Okay. All right. Well, that's it for me in the 7K range. Who are your duds for the week? What you gonna do?
Well, I think Stewart Cink at 6,900 is just the dumbest.
That's a good buy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that is the most mispriced play this week. I mean, the guy's been playing fantastic. He checks a box on strokes gained approach. I don't think you could. I just don't see how you can avoid playing him right there. Also, Chad Campbell right there with him, though. If you want to pivot off a sink for some reason, go with Chad Campbell. I mean, he fits. He's right up there in the top 10% of the field in strokes gained approach and strokes gained tee to green. So I do like Chad Campbell in the bottom range there of that 6,000 range. I like Luke List. He's just one of those guys that I think on a kind of an easier course where you can bomb it and the fairways are wide and everything else. I think he could easily contend here. So 6,400 for Luke List to me is just cheap. I guess my feel play of the week is going to be Gonzo.
Huh?
Yep.
Who?
Gonzo.
Who's that?
Gonzalo Fedez Castano.
Why?
You know, he's played decent here. He had a 37th place finish back here in 2015. I just think at 6,700, he's just the type player that could win out here. So there you go. There's going to be my that look. That's my like flyer pick. Like if you just want a flyer, that's it.
That's rough. All right. That's it.
Track it. That's all I got.
I wonder if Drew Love knows that he's $100 cheaper than his dad, Davis, on DraftKings.
I have no idea.
All right. Well, I'm looking at more like super scrub range here in this category. So I'm going to give you five guys.
Whoa, five?
Yeah, I'm going to give you five guys in like the like 6,500 and below. Because I agree with you on Sync, and those guys are easy. I'm talking about like super scrub values. Is that okay?
Yeah.
One guy that I think is a great GPP play, because he's probably going to be super low owned, but does love this golf course. So if you're just going to play the course history angle, Cameron Tringali has made 4 of 6 cuts here with 3 top 25s. He really likes the Greenbrier. Obviously played the Quicken Loans dreadfully, shooting a 75 and then an 80 to basically come in DFL. But like I said,
you got to throw out last week, I think.
GPP play, does love the golf course.
He does. Has great course history.
Yeah, another guy that I really like also loves this golf course. You mentioned him earlier when you named previous winners, and that's Scott Stallings. He's never missed a cut here. He has 5 top 25s with a victory at this course. Loves this golf course. The Scott Stallings. Do you have any comment on him?
No, I think that's a good play.
Yeah, I like him a lot. 6,400 is Stallings. I probably feel the best about him in that range. And then I've got 3 flyers, but I mean, I think this one guy is becoming less and less of a flyer. Trey Mullinax at 6,400, you know, the guy just continues to play well on the PGA Tour, especially in the last few weeks. I mean, 18th at the St. Jude, 9th at the U.S. Open, did miss the cut at the Travelers by, I think, on the number or 2 shots off, and then a 46 at the Quicken, but bomber's track right here for the Greenbrier. That's what Mullinax does. If the putter gets hot at 6,400, I love it. And if you want super cheap Mullinax, slightly more scary Mullinax, you can go Brandon Hagee at 6,200, another bomber that, if hot with the putter, can really roll it. And if you want to go even cheaper than that, at the minimum price on DraftKings, Tom Hoagie, who just racked up a T35 at the Travelers with a 66 and a 67 in rounds 1 and 4. And he's also made 6 of 8 cuts this year. 6 of 8 cuts this year. Tom Hoagie at 6,000 minimum price.
Let me ask you about Stephen Bowditch, who is a friend of the show. And now we know he's missed, like, I don't know.
You're only asking me because of his course history.
Look at his course history.
It's very good. I know. It's very good.
He's missed 1 cut back in 2012.
Yeah, I know. It's a good.
Do you have a lineup with him?
No, I do not.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, I think a lot of my lineups are going to be 3 9K guys, a 7K guy, and then, or maybe 2 7K guys, and then one of those guys I just named, one of those 5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be way more just along the average price line this week. I think that's the safer play. So
I'm not trying to be safe. I'm trying to win money.
Well, either way, I think you're going to win money that way.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, so one thing that we always forget to do, Pat, one and done. Who you got?
I think for me, one and done is going to be, because I don't believe I've played him yet this year, one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be Tony Finau.
You haven't played him yet?
Nope.
All right. I still need to try and capture a lone wolf. So I'm debating right now. I am gonna go with Hey, by the way, how about my Ricky Barnes call last week, huh?
Yeah.
Boss. I don't really mind him either at 60.
Does that guy not first round leader bet?
Oh, he's unreal.
Like, you got to bet he him first it. Round leader.
He freaking loves first round leader. All right. I'm going to go Jamie Lovemark.
Okay. I like that. You like it? I like that.
Okay, good. Good, good.
Yeah.
All right, well, that wraps it up for the Greenbrier Classic. May everybody's screens be green. Don't forget to be on the lookout for the PGA Championship Tuesday practice round giveaway. We'll be knocking that out. Don't forget the items in the TJ shop that we have limited quantities left of that you can get right now in the store and put Pat to work a little bit. And I'm going to call the Greenbrier. I'm going to find out about the whole falconry thing. I just want to know. So good luck. If any of you guys are doing any falconizing this weekend, let us know. We'd love to see it. maybe take a video and tag us in it. We'd retweet it. It'd be awesome. Just let us know. Maybe we'll put up a Twitter survey. Like, do you falconize with your dominant hand or not?
All right.
All right. Good show. May your screens be green. See ya.
Out. Oh.